Hey y'all, it's V, the Tax Lien Strategist. I'm just going to record this real quick as a continuation of devise of the community getting together and devising strategies, along with similar to what this group had me out yesterday to help them sort things through and help them devise some strategies. Let me say first that Civic Association presidents are remarkable. I don't know if they get the credit that they deserve, because they certainly deserve credit and a lot more from the work that they do and their teams and the communities members that work with them. It's not an easy job, and to be honest with you, you couldn't pay me to be a community civic club president. I'll just say that and leave it at that. As community organizer, I have the luxury of meeting wonderful people on all spectrums, on all sides of this thing, and hear everyone. I make it clear, though, where my allegiance is and why it is why it's there. Although I don't explain a lot anymore, I do let people know this isn't personal. The only way you can take it personally is your intent not be pure. And you know what it is. I don't know. I don't care. I have to take information from my history. And because there have been no reparations, because there have been no apologies, because there's been no act of the government to make black people whole from where we've come from in this country, I have to assume that it's not going to happen. So I have to assume that it's my job to do what little I can do to help make our people whole and help make our people not feel as if they're constantly losing all the time. So if you don't like the work I do, thank the government, tell the government to talk to the people who are out there working in the trenches for reparations. Tell them to listen, and tell them to do their best to make people who are descendants of enslaved people whole. And now we're on a more of a level playing field financially. And so this is why we don't believe it's going to happen, because people just don't want us there. There's a whole 12,000 books about that. But right now, I want to talk about thanking the Civic Club presidents for the work they do. Also, they are aware, they know that it makes their job easier when the community members decide on their own to do some things that we discussed yesterday with this particular group that's forming to safeguard. They know who the descendants of some of these who owns these properties, the children. They know the children. They know the baby dad is my baby dad. We know everything about our neighbors. Well, we also have that information as well. And to locate and find these people and to safeguard these people and to protect these people until we decide what to do with these empty properties that appear to be abandoned, that are typically not abandoned, but they just don't have people living in them for various reasons. And so it is true that I do have a large inventory of property. People are calling me all the time, oh, I know you have a large inventory of property. You know, we're not holding on to these properties. We're not a land bank. We're going to talk about that one day too. We are safeguarding some of these properties to make sure that whoever ends up with these properties love the community, want to live there, and want to get along with the people who are there. Again, we have to remember that black people were pushed to these neighborhoods, and that's okay. They've done a remarkable job of moving to these neighborhoods, building in these neighborhoods to what they are today. And so that's not the issue. The issue is not other people moving in, other people having ownership of these properties. Again, it's about how you do it, how you end up getting these properties, what powers that be are out there assisting you when they know they should not, and the fact that we're not making this up, we have history to fall back on, we have events in history, and again, we also know that this country has never failed to try to take us back there. It's just that, you know, the thugs in the Republican Party are just, you know, that's in our government, just don't even hide it anymore. But, you know, we're smart, you know, we're not dummies. We have reasoning skills. We see. It doesn't take rocket science. It doesn't matter if people say we're making this up. It doesn't matter if people say we're talking about race all the time. Yeah, because everything is about race. Why can't we get part of the conversation as well? So when people in gentrified areas come to civic association meetings, be very careful and pay attention. People have every right to be involved in their civic association meetings. But what I need for marginalized people to understand is that most times, these aren't the only meetings that they attend. It's the meetings after the meeting that you have to be wary of. It's where all the damage is done. So if you know who lives next door to, who grew up next door to your property, and who went to school with your children, and who you baked bread with and pies with and went to church with, because remember, Black people were spread out. We were pretty much confined to certain areas. So we built our churches. That's when our communities were great. We built our churches, had our schools. Everything was done within the community. Everything. We had our neighborhood grocery stores. We had our neighborhood merchants. Everything was done within the community. Okay? So we knew who people were. We know who they are. So this group is going to take ownership of the things they know. And they're going to, and another thing Black people like to say is, oh, well, just go to the city council meetings. Really? Okay. Yeah, that's good. I mean, I'm not saying, I said that, you know, in jest, but yeah, go to the city council meeting. But understand some work, you can't stop there. The work still has to be done because some city council people aren't for you. See, just take in consideration that that's a government and that some things still have to be done by the community members themselves. Let's talk about condemnation real quick because this ties in. So if you're in a community and you see a sign, a building, with a piece of paper on it, taped there, stapled there by a city worker, telling the owner to repair or demolish, that is a property that's on the verge of being condemned. Okay? Under that definition, because there's more than one definition, I don't know if y'all knew this, and this is what I want people to do. When you're taking control and going back to the days when we knew who our neighbors were and took control of our neighborhoods, we need to understand what words our government is using out here and the meaning of some of these words. So when you have a home or a building property, just listed as a home, residential, that's being condemned. It can be condemned if its condition is deemed unlivable. Okay? It could be that the conditions are dangerous, hazardous, unsuited to be occupied. So in Houston, as well as other cities, there is an inspections and public service website. On that website, it has a list of common code violations to avoid. Okay. These properties are empty, and these are the ones that there's a date on it. There's going to be a date on it by have this done by. And then the city, at least our city, as big as it is, it has to hire contractors to do demolition work. That contractor gives the city a bill. That bill is paid by the city, and now there becomes a lien on the property. Okay, but there's again, the inspections and public service website has a list of common code violations that a person has to avoid in order to make the building safe and habitable for the rest of the neighborhood. So we know about that condemnation or condemning. We're familiar with that. Here's what I want you to know. There's another way the term condemnation is used, though. So although the definition is practically the same, the term condemn is used differently. So when you're going to talk to people in city planning to see who is trying to see about a eminent domain, okay, that's when the term condemnation is included in that. So there's condemnation. A property can be seized as an act of eminent domain. And it took me a long time to wrap my mind around the whole concept, because again, we're looking at condemnation as just tearing property down because it's dangerous. But under those circumstances, when those properties are taken, they pretty much, once the city, if the owner does not comply and do what's asked on that paper, checked off, then the city has no choice but to use its contractors again to tear it down. Now, we talked about lien priority on this podcast. The government is going to take a position of first position on that particular, because of that lien that's attached to that property. Okay, in those circumstances is when a lot of times other liens don't matter. They're wiped out. Those people just won't be paid unless, again, they get in position. So under most of those circumstances, though, the owner, the city, the government, the city who used the contractor to tear the building down, now that ends up being owned by the city, and that's how you get a lot of over the counter property that the city can sell. Because remember, you can't sell what you don't own in a tax deed state. So the government has to bring the stuff to auction, or again, it acquires it through other avenues. And lien position is another way a city acquires ownership of property. Now, the city owns the property. All the other liens are removed. And now their buddies can purchase this property over the counter. You and I can too, but we won't know about it until it's too late. Because people have folk in key positions. Let's not pretend it doesn't happen now. Let's not pretend that that's not true. I know politically correct, they have to say it. But no, let's just be real. We know that because there are people who follow the things and their friends who work for the city say, oh yeah, well, we're about to condemn so-and-so, so-and-so. I got to wait another 30 days. Now just hold tight. Got to wait another 30 days, but it's coming up. It's going to be available. And we're going to own it. Because we got it, because city has a real estate department. Every entity does. School districts, every city has a real estate department. And so, you know, the bottom line is, idea is, I'll make sure you get it over the counter. So when you're organizing and devising your strategies to take control of the homes, the empty homes in your neighborhood, because you know who they belong to anyway, and boarding them up and cutting the grass to make sure they're secured and they're protected and they're safeguarded and that they're coveted. You're doing so for the purpose of knowing who your neighbors are. Okay? Everybody else does the same thing. So don't feel like you got to explain why you have the kind of attitude that you have about your community. And I want to also tell Civic Association presidents, and we've talked about this while I'm on here, is that when gentrification comes to the meetings, and of course everybody should come to their respective meetings, what they say at the meeting in most cases is not what they're going to do. Not all that they're going to do. If I can get y'all to understand one thing, and only this one thing, it's the meeting after the meeting where the real plans, where gentrification makes its real plans. Okay? What can you say? Y'all should be doing the same thing. That's all I'm going to say. You all should be doing the same thing. And there should be some things that should not even be voiced at Civic Association meetings. I'm sorry. You know what you plan for your community. Civic Club presidents can't come up with all these ideas. But you all can. Especially the neighbors. Especially the ones who went to church with these people. Whose children babysat. Who marry into families, things like that. You can't ignore your responsibility to the community. Even if a property goes to auction and it's for the 2-year redemption period or 6 months, whatever that is, the constable, the constable's department is going to file a document called a sheriff's deed. It's going to have the name of the person who purchased the property. Research those properties, those names, to see who they are. And you can determine from that what's going to happen. What's possibly going to happen with those properties. Help contact the owners and help them redeem it. I'm going to create your strategy outlines for you and what to do that. Okay? So you can get it back in the hands of the owners, and so you can purchase that as an individual yourself. Now, yeah, I'm not going to lie, we do have large inventory of property. People call me all the time. Oh, I want to work with you. I'm a developer, business and this. You don't think I'm checking those people out? And it's nothing wrong with that. People want property. But I'll tell you why you got to make sure you know who is coming after you for property. Yeah, my company does. We do. But we do private sales. Realtors can't steer. But if you know somebody who in your family who wants a property in your neighborhood, what's wrong with you telling them about it? What's wrong with calling me about the property? Because I let different organizations know what properties we have. I hope they know not to advertise it, because they won't be privy to that information anymore if they do. It's all for the purpose of safeguarding, coveting, keeping our people in their homes to age in place to not have to deal with the question of, can I afford this? Because the government's doing this job by raising your taxes, having you in a position of having to now figure out what to do unless you have exemptions. That's enough for you to worry about. The community as a whole needs to worry about the vest. We need to be who we used to be. We've gotten away from that. But I'm not going to make this particular episode segment too long because we have other segments that relate to this that's coming. So I'll talk to you all on the next segment.